Whoa, everybody, so fast.
Hi, Bam Bam. Hi, BP. Hi, Ryan. Y'all are fast. Love it. Hello, Mr. Tortuga. How are you? How are you doing, Ryan? Mike Tampa Bay. I hope you're well, Ryan. And BP and Bam Bam and Mike. What in the world was that? Sounded like something fell. And it wasn't me. Yancy! Man, I am surrounded by the man today. Good morning. Well, hello and welcome to the Dina Jo podcast. I am DJ Dina Jo, your friend coming to you from colorful Colorado. Thank you so much for joining my show today. You all are the best. If you're listening on the download, thank you and hit that follow button so you can join us live sometime. I'm here with Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 7:45 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. And I have the best people in the chat. Thank you all for your continued love, likes, supports, shares, and downloads. Yeah, I need to turn that music down. It's going to change on me any second now. All right. Thank you, Mike, for sharing the show. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. All right. So we have a little bit of sun today, which is nice because it's been raining. We've had a lot of rain. Today is Monday, June 5th. In Denver, we're currently at 52, mostly sunny. The thunderstorms will be rolling in around 2, they said. I'm just repeating it. And we should get to a high of around 64. Hanny J! Aw, good to see you. Now I have another lady in the house. Yes. So yeah, we've been very wet, but at least it's around here. It's not all coming down really fast. So, but up north they've had a lot of flooding. But as long as it's just slow and steady, it won't fill up that pond lake thing behind me. All right. So in Canada, I hear they have some fires again. For my friend Ryan in Kimberley, British Columbia, 52 sunny, mostly sunny skies, high 82. Well, Len, I don't know if the fires are closer to you, Bam Bam. And it's funny how they say it's 60 and it's hazy. Not that it's smoky. It's smoky. Is smoky and hazy the same thing? I don't know. I think they're like it's smoky because it's from a fire. There will be mostly sunny skies. You'll have a high of 77 and humidity of 100. Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying that. It always seems to be so humid out there. Yeah. Do you have no wrinkles? Are you like wrinkle free because of all the humidity? Oh my goodness. For BP, and all the people at Breaking Bread Restaurant in Elwood, Pennsylvania, 53, mostly cloudy, but they say mostly sunny skies, high of 80. And then for my beautiful, hi, Mama Bear, how are you? I hope you're all okay. I'm hearing there's more, I hear there's more fires out there. Hi, Bam Bam.
Good morning, Pebbles.
How are you?
Smoky.
Yeah, not hazy, right?
No, it's crazy. Like, you know when you watch like a video of Los Angeles and they talk about like the smog or whatever and you can see like that haze? Yep. That's what it looks like. But instead of this time, like the Alberta fire smoke smelled like barbecue chips.
You said that.
But this fire coming from Quebec in Northern Ontario, which is the province that I'm in, it's about a 12-hour drive from me, which realistically when you're thinking of jet streams and air, it's not that far.
Yeah.
It's got like a burning fiber smell to it. I don't know. It's just different this time than it was from the Alberta fires.
I know. You were funny. Wasn't it your daughter or somebody that said, it smells like barbecue chips?
Yeah. We'd go to the store or whatever. Ellie would be like, yeah, it smells like barbecue chips out here.
Not today, huh? Huh. Yeah. I hope it's not like a repeat of the, because the last ones you said was a person who said it.
Yeah, some of the wildfires in Alberta, they actually arrested a person and they're trying to figure out a whole reign of people who apparently, this is just what I've seen. I can't, be a
Yeah.
fountain of misinformation. What I've come
Right.
across was out there, one guy has been arrested and they're linking them to some group of, like, I guess eco-terrorists are trying to show that climate change is real by starting fires and blaming it on the climate change or something like that is what the videos and stuff were saying on YouTube down the rabbit hole that I went down the one day. And
Oh my gosh. It's real, but we started
And that's the weird
it.
thing about these Quebec fires too. They're talking about fires caused by lightning. Meanwhile, it hasn't rained there in 2 weeks. Where the hell's the lightning come from if there's no lightning and thunderstorm?
Yeah, that's kind of strange. You would think, isn't there always thunder with lightning?
Yeah, and like rain and stuff, right? Like you don't just have a random lightning storm with no like storm showers or nothing. But out in
Yeah, I
eastern
don't.
Canada, they're lucky though because there's been a lot more rain come through now. So most of the fires out there, they're considering them contained, which is good for them.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I know. I was thinking about when you said that there was more fires. I was like, dang, I wonder how the bear and if she's in here, her family and them are doing, and everybody that had to be evacuated. It's scary when all those fires happen in the summertime and it's so hot.
Yeah, the Mama Bear Tracy area, that's about a day and a half drive for us. But
Yeah.
the fires that are happening in Quebec and Ontario, it's only
They're
like,
closer.
they're a lot closer. It's like only a half day drive.
That's
So we're
not
stuck
good.
right in the jet stream of it, my Niagara region area.
Oh,
Like,
geez.
if you go on the meteorological whatever, you'll see the
Yeah.
actual smoke, and the red smoke is literally, we're in the worst part of it for some reason.
Oh, yeah, it just kind of settles there.
Yeah, it's like blowing over top of us and stuff. And if we don't get rain in the next few days, apparently it's going to get worse.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I hope some of that rain we've been having goes, phew, let's push it up that way towards you guys. Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah, growing up in California, I know exactly what you're talking about. And because we were by the foothills, it's just smog. It's all pollution. And it just sits there. And you just breathe in this crap. So I can only imagine, fire crap isn't any better for you.
Yeah, like when you're driving down the road and you're looking ahead, like the first, like, whatever is clear, but you can see, like, as you're a little farther out, it's almost like fog.
Like you're going into it.
Yeah,
Ooh.
it's.
Yeah, that's how it was when we got the smoke from you guys in the morning. It was really kind of a creepy, eerie feeling being out there and it's dark, but you could still see like the street lights were, and it was just like this fog, like the boogeyman was gonna come out of there.
Yeah, and like yesterday afternoon, our sun was like purpley orange.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I hope it don't last too long because people with asthmas and stuff like that, it's not good for them. You gotta stay
No.
inside with your air conditioning on and crap. I'm not the best breather because I've been smoking for 30 years, but it doesn't, luckily, knock on wood, affect me very much. Like, I worked in a factory for many years in front of a fire, like constant smoke, so I'm sort of used to breathing in smoke.
Yeah, well, that's not good.
It's not good, but
Oh,
it
that's
just
not
doesn't really
good.
faze me
Doesn't
like most
affect you
people.
as much.
Yeah,
Yeah.
luckily. So, but.
Mama Bear says her smoke smelled like fire in your backyard. Oh, okay. So it smelled like fire for you guys over by the time it got to Bam Bam and his family, it smelled like barbecue chips.
Well, no, the
Weird.
Alberta fire smelled like barbecue chips, the one that was out west, north of you. But the
Okay.
ones that were out east in like Mama Bear Tracy's, we didn't catch any of that stuff
Oh,
because
okay,
the way the
good.
wind goes, it actually putting the wind over more towards the ocean and stuff instead of inland.
Gosh, you guys have had quite a few all of a
Yeah, but
sudden.
our country, it takes like 5 days to drive from one side of our country to the other. Like it's, if not more. Two, it takes 5 days to drive to BC, 2 days, 7 days to drive from one end of our country to the other, basically.
Wow,
So
that's
the first
amazing.
fires were out west by Ryan and the second fires were out east by Mama Bear, and
Now they're
now we
out by
got
you.
in the middle area.
Oh, man. Dang, we need to pray for Canada. They need rain. They need
Yeah.
rain.
Need to find some of them, I don't even know what to call Indians anymore because it's so politically incorrect to call
Oh,
people certain things, but we
I
gotta start
know.
doing some powwow rain dances.
Right? I know. It's I stop myself all the time and it's like, "Oh, wait. What am I supposed to call that? What am I supposed to say?" And it's like, geez, you know, you're right. Everything has gotten so politically out of control. Out of control. You don't know what to call anything. Everything that just used to be simple, and it never was racist, and it never was out of hatred or anything like that. And now it seems to be. But I understand, yeah. I know you need rain. Let's do a rain dance.
Yeah, I'm the farthest thing from racist, but I, like I said, I don't know what to call them people, but I understand, and I actually support them as much as I can and stuff.
Yeah.
And when I was in high school, we used to have a club, a Native American club. And even though I wasn't Native American, a lot of my high school friends were in the club. So I would go to, like, you weren't actually allowed to participate in the certain things and stuff, because it's disrespectful to have a white man do certain things, but
right
to be there and help and, you know, do whatever and stuff. Yeah. I was always there, like, as much as I could be, right? So,
and that's amazing, because I did read that about your about Canada and how, don't they have an Indigenous Day and stuff, because there are a lot of, well, at least you guys pay tribute to the American Indian. Sorry if I'm saying the wrong thing, but I know what you're talking about. Our friend Audie that comes in here, I'd have to ask her what she'd want. I'll need to ask her. What should we call you without it being disrespectful? So, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be nice to know, because I'm out of touch with certain people these days, but I don't ever want to insult anybody.
Me neither.
Because I'm, you know, 46, and that's just how we were raised. And
right.
You know what I mean? It's just all the books and everything, right? So Ryan says First Nation, but the problem with saying First Nation is there's actually multiple nations, and certain First Nation people like to be called First Nation, but then you get Ojibwe, and if you call an Ojibwe a First Nation, they'll punch you right in the face.
Oh, geez. So, yeah. Hi, Energy. I'm sorry I missed you. Yeah, it is. And I get you, Mike, but sometimes, like, I understand what you're saying, Bam Bam, that you don't want to be, I don't ever want to offend anybody. That's not who I am. And like you said, when we grew up, it was so much different. It was a lot easier. There wasn't, I guess it just wasn't promoted as hate as they do now. So yeah. Hi, Energy.
Grand day to you all.
How are you?
Hello.
I'm successful. Thank you for asking. Myself, I just prefer, like, the one who's that in there? BP said, you know, humans. You know, you call us what you know, as we say. I know it's a lot out here. Me personally, I just prefer to acknowledge myself as Origine.
Origine.
Origine Day is coming up June 22nd in our neck of the woods. I'm looking forward to it. It's fourth annual for us.
Oh, good.
You know, but we all acknowledge ourselves as Autochthonous. Well, when you got people who say First Nations, then you got to consider the bloodline and the history of that particular, let's just say, narrative, if you will.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain. If you call a certain person a First Nations, they'll punch you in the face.
You know, and that's because of political, you know, propaganda, political, you know, agendas out here and everything like that. I mean, the whole idea keep me from knowing that that's who we're really talking about.
Yeah. And I think there's more people that it's just innocent. And that's how we grew up, instead of it being hatred as the news wants to promote it. So, yeah. No, you didn't offend anybody, Ryan. You're just saying, no, absolutely not. Don't be sorry. We're trying to figure this out. So
you got to remember, Ryan's Canadian. He'll apologize no matter what.
So, oh, it doesn't matter. You're funny. That sounds like me. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate you. Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's hard these days. We don't want to offend. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, well, alrighty. With that being said, I'm going to get on with the word of the day.
Yeah, I'm going to bounce back down. Thanks for having me up. Nice to meet
you. All right, Bam Bam. Thank you. Thank you. All right, I'm going to say, get on with the word of the day and the quote of the day. And the word of the day, and again, and I do this just for a little bit of encouragement in this world of hate that we were just talking about. The word of the day is going to be appreciation, which means recognition and enjoyment of good qualities of someone or something. And then the quote, it's funny, It's a funny thing about life. Once you begin to take note of the things you are grateful for, you begin to lose sight of the things you lack. And that is by Jeremy Kent. And then I have another one. Appreciation is a wonderful thing. It makes what is excellent in others belong to us as well. And that's Voltaire. And I wrote a little bit about appreciation. Appreciation is a fundamental human need in both profession and private life. It regards colleagues as human beings who are valuable because of their abilities, personality, and uniqueness. We all want to be appreciated by others by who we are, what we do, or what we achieve. We also need to know that we're important in other people's lives. We need to be noticed and valued. The sad thing is, most of us feel like we don't get enough appreciation. When you express your appreciation for someone, you will not only improve their lives, but yours as well. You will feel more fulfilled because you have done something to make someone else's life better. Your mood and daily outlooks change when you focus on positive things rather than negative. Go ahead and thank someone for something they've done for you. It costs you so little, but it will mean the world to other people. And so that's what I say. Bart, hi Bart, how are you? Good to see you. So I have a lot to go over today. Today, just so you know, June is PTSD Awareness Month. And something that our friends over at Haven for Heroes, they say some wounds are not visible and we need to remember that. And if you're able to support the groups that are out there that are able to help so many people that, have fought for our freedoms and are out there that help us, please do. So yeah, that's for the whole month. And then, I don't know who this guy was. He was an actor, but rest in peace. His name is Barry Newman. Actor, he passed away, and I believe he was in Vanishing Point. He looks very familiar. It says he was in Vanishing Point and what else? The Limely. He was an actor. He passed away at 92 years old. So rest in peace. We talked about the rain. Let's see, anybody else come in here that I missed? No, not yet. All right, so moving on. Well, there's an iconic cow that went missing in Louisiana. It's a landmark for a deli. And this big cow, it's a giant cow, somebody stole it. And they think it was a senior prank because it's actually on a trailer and the tires, they have the tires flat. So nobody will take off with it. I guess this is not the first time somebody has taken said cow. They don't have a name. I wonder why she doesn't have a name. They just say the 46-year-old cow is by all accounts utterly unmistakable. So they found her shortly after the call came out. Our friends in Maidville Police Department came across the radio. Hey, I just found a massive cow on the lakefront. Must be her. So it is Sal's Super Meat Market, who has had this cow outside of their meat market since they've been open. So all they wanted, they're not going to press any charges. All they wanted was their cow back. They wanted their heifer back. Oh yeah, that would have been the perfect for the Moose song, huh? I know. I always think of the Moose song when I see Bart, but I don't have it right there. Dang it. I would have played the Moose song. Darn it. That would have been perfect. Oh man, Bart. So anyway, they got their cow back. While we're talking about beef, for those of you who like beef jerky, Jack's Link beef jerky, it says, do you love beef jerky enough to stay at a Jack Link's new meat retreat? All right, here we go. Let me see if I can get through this. Beef jerky maker Jack Link's, and it says one of the best beef jerky brands, is inviting meat lovers to its new immersive jerky-based experience. No, it's not a tour of the 450 million plant in Georgia that Fox reported on, as shared in a press release starting on National Jerky Day, a holiday created by the brand in 2012, you'll be able to book a visit to Jack Link's meat retreat at the legitimate Dude Ranch in Montana. I'm going to run back here. Okay, let's see. Meat retreat guests will stay in a king size with meat-based decor, including a bed furnished with meat-printed sheets and made to look like constructed out of giant beef sticks. The jerky-loving fan will have the option to be awoken in their meat-scented room. That just kind of made my stomach turn. What does that smell like? Is it raw meat or is it like cooked steak smell? It doesn't say. By the calls of Sasquatch, that is the brand's unofficial ambassador, so that they can feel fully immersed in the world of their favorite snack. The suite is also furnished with a meaty mini bar and much beef jerky to snack on that one could desire. Chewing on all the jerky is bound to make some jaws tired. In that case, tuckered visitors can tenderize their muscles in a jazzed up, fenced in metal trough turned jacuzzi that has been dubbed the marination station. To dry off, they are meat printed robes for the guests to wrap themselves up in before venturing off to explore the ranch. Bookings for all expense retreat will be available on the Jack's Link Meat Retreat website starting June 12th. Mark your calendars, everybody. Because I went on there to see if it would show me any information, and it says it's too early. So June 12th. But you can go on there and see the pictures of the bed and the bedroom. Too bad you can't smell it. But yeah, meat retreat. Say all that 10 times. That's, I know. I can't say it that fast. Let's see. What else do they have in here to say? You can go. It's in Montana. And it's a ranch that it's going to include horsemanship lessons, leather crafting, roping lessons, fly fishing, and more. In the evening, as predictably meaty meals await, cooked by the private chef, expect cheeky, jerky-filled dishes like marinated flank steak toast with jerky cream sauce and New York-style cheesecake jerky and graham cracker crumb crust. You'll also have the opportunity to sing songs by the campfire and enjoy line dancing in the Hootenanny and take in the Montana wilderness. So if that all, wait a minute. You also get a pair of Sasquatch, shorts. Let's see. Jack Link's has been known, in the past, brand familiar with rugged lifestyle. Besides its mini advertisement featuring the mythical creature Sasquatch, the company has also launched its own cargo shorts. The shorts are equipped with more than 20 jerky-sized pockets to keep folks fueled throughout the outdoor adventures. You'll certainly want to pack yours if you're headed out to the meat retreat this summer. Holy moly. Hi, Mr. A. So the meat retreat, if you're into that, oh my goodness gracious, that took a lot of Sasquatch gives massages. I'm in. You should see it. It really does. It looks like a metal trough, like the ones I have in my backyard, in my garden, but it's called the marination station. Oh my gosh, it's too funny. And the Hootenanny. So all of it is yours June 12th. So, what was it again? Link's, Jack Link's, what was the website? Jack Link's Meat Retreat website. Jack Link's Meat Retreat. Let me see if I can get it. I'm trying to see how many. Oh, it didn't give me a countdown. It was giving me a countdown yesterday. Here is the website if you all are interested. Bam, there you go, for your meat retreat. All right, Moving on now to this one. Wow, this one was crazy. This one-of-a-kind whiskey just sold for over $275,000. It is the luxury and powerful 2024 Aston Martin DB12. Doesn't come cheap. Okay, this is about the car. The luxury car sticker price starts at $245,000. But earlier this month, an unnamed buyer skipped the V8 engine and hand-stitched leather interior in favor of dropping almost $280,000 on a single bottle of whiskey, one that was produced and collaborated between Aston Martin and Scotland's Bowmar Distillery. The bottle is beautiful. It says the Mokume Edition, and I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, 52-year-old single malt scotch was auctioned off by Sotheby's last week, exceeding its estimate. The auction house expected to sell for somewhere between, and these are in pounds, 140,000 pounds to 220,000 pounds, the one-of-a-kind Bowman Arc 52 whiskey called the Mokume Edition was aged for 52 years, first in an American oak hogshead cask and then in a European oak butt cast. And on top of that, it's bottled inside in a uniquely decanter. I guess it's a decanter, not a bottle, designed by Aston Martin. The decanter was inspired by the black rocks of Lok, India, near the Bowmar Distillery. Its striking geometric top was constructed from the same carbon filaments of an Aston Martin used in both its high-end sports car and AMR 23 Formula One cars. As the maker of beautiful objects, proportion, shape, and form, along with careful selection of color and materials, are incredibly important to Aston Martin, they said. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? I mean, just drinking that and then it's gone. All that money. But I can, you know what? Those people that have that type of money, I guess it doesn't matter. But that is just like a lot of money. I mean, the decanter, I keep wanting to say bottle, the decanter, it's beautiful. I mean, it's like a piece of art. But man, it doesn't say how much it holds, but it doesn't look like it holds very much. Oh, and it comes with a little pretty shot glass too. Yeah, crazy. Crazy what people would, I would spend the money on something else, not that. Yeah, that is a crazy hangover. Maybe they could just give me the money. Or me too. I know, I walk around in that Cherokee Country Club where the guys work, and I look at these houses and I think, God, what do these people do? And the money that they just like just spend on just anything. And then there's this one guy, I asked Lewis, I'm like, what the heck does this guy do? It's like every week they're changing the flowers in his front yard. I'm not kidding you. And it's like these landscaping people, it's a private company. They live there. They're always out there having lunch on his yard, changing the flowers. Every single week they're changing something in his yard. And he said, what did he tell me he was? An oil engineer. And then he has more money than he knows what to do with. And I'm like, does he need a house cleaner? Does he need, I'll go clean his house. I'll do something. I was like, dang, some of these people, man, so much money. Anyway, so I'm talking more about, food. This one, French authorities dumped 35,000 bottles of soda, or daring to call itself champagne. It says, if there's one thing the French take super seriously, it's champagne. Don't even consider calling anything champagne unless it originates in the actual literal Champagne Valley. Just look at the incident in Belgium, it said, involving the destruction of 2,352 cans of Miller High Life for calling itself the champagne of beers. And now the French agents who destroyed thousands of bottles of ported champagne soda. According to the BBC, French border police dumped nearly 35,000 bottles of a soda originated from Haiti with a label that read Cunard Fruit. I don't know what that first word is. Cunard Fruit Champagne. The officials located it at the North Port, actually seized the items, which were allegedly intended for distribution in France, in 2021. However, the BBC reported a French court ruled late 2022 that the bottles should be slated for destruction as they violate the Appellation de blah, 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 the AOC designation. I'm just going to say the AOC designation. So it happened. They confiscated them in October 2021. It took till late 2022 before the court decided, nope, we're getting rid of them. And so they destroyed them. Man, they take it seriously. They take their champagne stuff seriously. I just laughed when the champagne of beers. Are you kidding me? Really? Just because they call them the champagne of beers? I think, yeah, they're just hoity-toity. Those French, sorry, French people. I don't think I have any French listeners, but don't they sound like they just stick their nose up in the air? I'm like, all right. Oh, all right. Well, this one has to do with a Canada woman who gets knocked unconscious during a cheese rolling contest, but she wins it anyway. And I believe, let's read it. Double Gloucester cheese is a hard cow milk cheese and has a nutty flavor, I've never heard of it before, which pairs well with brown ales and rich ports, it says. And it says a single Gloucester is also reasonably easy to find in England, which means you don't have to throw yourself down an impossibly steep hill if you want to try it. Despite its widespread availability, every year hundreds of fearless people turn up at Copperheads Hill near Gloucester for an annual cheese rolling race. If you're lucky, you'll leave the event dazed, dizzy, and in possession of a 7-pound wheel of double Gloucester goes to the winner. If you're less likely, you'll pick up scrapes, bruises, and perhaps even a minor brain injury. Okay. The winner of the women's cheese rolling race this year was Denali Irving, a 19-year-old Canadian who finished up a 6-week trip through Europe. When she happened to be in Gloucester on the day of the race, she decided she would enter the competition. She said, "We didn't really prepare for it at all. All we did to prepare, me and my friend took turns jumping on the hotel bed and rolling as best as we could." And then there's a video. I'll post it on the Dina Jo podcast Facebook page. It says, even England's worst hotel beds can't replicate the head swimming steep incline of Cooper's Hill. Irvine told the outlet that videos she watched of previous races didn't prepare her for how steep it actually was. She wasn't put off, though, and among those who chased the rolling wheel of cheese down the hill, and that's about all she remembers. Irvine was knocked unconscious, and she rolled down the hill, and when she finally came to, she was in the medical tent. She also had a wheel of cheese on her lap, because despite being completely out of it, she won the race. I remember running, then bumped my head, and then I woke up in the tent. I still don't really believe it, but it feels really great, she said. She was taken for a CT scan after the race. It did not show any serious injuries, which surprised her mother. The scan is clear and she is good. I can't believe that because it looks like she shouldn't be okay. I don't know what that means, what her mom is saying, but you've seen it before, Bam Bam. It's a cool race. There's a documentary on Netflix on the race. And the men's winner was Urkel. Oh my God, BB. Really, Bam Bam? Oh my gosh, that's funny. Really busy now. Oh, okay. Bye, Ryan. See you later. Be careful. Yes, I don't want you to hurt yourself. She eases. Oh, Bart. sports, Bart. Yes, that's funny. I didn't know. But the video is kind of crazy. So I'll post that. Huh. That's funny that there is actually a documentary about threes. They should say that. It says, but let's see, despite being literally knocked unconscious trying to win several pounds of cheese, Hervey said in an interview that she's not a huge fan of that particular dairy product, but I will definitely eat this cheese, she said. Okay. So, yeah, I just laughed because it was Canada and out there, but that's crazy that there is actually a documentary about it. Where are we on time? Oh, okay. So real quick, music wise, if you were looking forward to Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, they are postponing their major concert because of the writers. There's writers. I guess it was supposed to be at the Hollywood Bowl on June 26th and 27th. They are moving it out until October 20th and 21st. So, an anniversary concert that they're doing, 30th anniversary concert of Doggy Style. So that has been postponed. Your tickets will be good on October 20th or 21st. And then I was laughing about this story, the Amish people. And hey, VP, have you ever been to Amish country out there? They were talking about the Amish people and how, you know, supposedly from what we understand, or at least I understood, that, you know, they kind of steer away from electricity and different things. But this article was saying it depends on which Amish group. They do tend to stay away from certain things. But this one, it says Amish communities are using a surprising new kind of vehicle to travel long distances. It's a lot quicker. And it's electric bikes. E-bike Mike has made a difference on the Amish. And as many has discovered in the recent years as our highly coveted mode of transportation, they're much cheaper than electric vehicles, faster than walking, and less physical endurance than riding a bike. And they don't produce planet warming pollution like cars. It says, although it's commonly believed that Amish communities eschew any type of technology that isn't several centuries old, that is a misconception. Like I was saying, it says, in reality, there is no central Amish governing authority, and each individual community is allowed to make their own decisions about what type of technology they can use. So the official tourism site of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, home of numerous Amish communities, explains it this way. When new technology comes along, it affects our church and our community is examined. The technology should not be an intrusion into the home, but rather serve the social purpose and goals of the group. With that in mind, the Amish often repurpose the technology in a sense to align with their community beliefs. Let's see. In the case of the e-bike, several churches have now decided that the benefit outweighs the cost. It's a lot quicker to jump on a bike and go to town and bring your horse into the barn, harness it up into a buggy, and go, said David Mullett, a member of the Old Order Amish Church and owner of an e-bike shop in Ohio. He told the e-bike life. That's what it's called, the e-bike life. So, yeah. So they're, and some of them are actually using solar panels, they said. So, yeah. The Amish are going to be riding some e-bikes, like e-bike Mike. I started laughing. Thank you guys so much for all the shares. I'm popping back and forth through screens, so I appreciate you guys so much for all the likes. And then before I get into music, I wanted to tell this last story because it's heartwarming and we need some heartwarming love in our lives. And it's just kind of awesome to see teens acting this way. so anyway, Let's read this story. Three teens grab sobbing woman at a drive-thru to pray, but have no clue they are being filmed. And it talks about every morning, Barbara grabs a coffee from the drive-thru window at Dutch Brothers in Vancouver, Washington, while Barbara sat in her car waiting in the line on March, in March, let's see. Wow, this was in 2016. Wait a minute. Yeah, it just says Saturday. Well, this is 2016. Anyway, it's a good story. We're going to read it anyway. On this particular day, it was taking an abnormally long time to get through the drive-thru. The driver directly in front of her was holding up the entire line, and the employees were working at the window and speaking to her. Seconds later, two more teenage employees gathered at the window. What could possibly be taking so long, she thought. Suddenly, Barbara noticed that the trio of employees piled on top of one another, and they are. You can kind of see them. They're all kind of hanging out this window, leaning out the window, and each of them reached towards the 30-something woman in the driver's seat ahead. The young men tightly grabbed onto the woman's hand at once, and then that is when Barbara snapped the photo. Once the car in front of her drove off, Barbara learned why the woman had been holding hands with the three complete and total strangers. A guarantee the reason will move you to the very core. It says, with more details about the stunning act she had just witnessed, Barbara posted her photo on Facebook along with the touching story. And where did the rest of the story go? It talks about that the woman, it was probably in this video and you're not going to be able to hear it. She had just lost her husband. And I guess she had been going there for a while. So the boys, the young men, knew who she was and saw that something was wrong and asked her. And she said she had just lost her husband. And so then that's when they all decided to pray for her. And you don't see things like that. You know, a lot of kids nowadays are pains in the ass. And so when they do something kind and when you notice somebody is hurting, and you always know, it's you should reach out and just a word, you know, anything can change the life of somebody. You never know. So I thought that was a good story. And I wanted to end my funny stories with that. So if you see somebody hurting, show them a little love or ask them if they're okay or if they need something. It doesn't take that long. And you know what? You will leave that feeling better and knowing that you've helped somebody to feel better. Yeah, it can definitely change a life. You're right, Annie J. You've all heard all the stories of somebody who is just about, you know, ready to end their life. And all it took was somebody to stop and talk to them. And it changed the way, the outcome. So yeah. Doesn't take much. And with that being said, we're going to get into music. And I wanted to say this too. June is PTSD. I did say that earlier, Awareness Month. So please keep that in mind. But we are going to start with some music. Hey, Bubbles, check your bat phone, please. Okay, I will. Thank you for letting me know because I have it on. Let's see. Oh, he sent me We Are the Champions. It's called Cheese Rolling. It's We Are the Champions is the Netflix film. And it's in the farmlands of England. An ancient tradition sends daring tumblers down a steep hill in a risky race changing cheese history. So, yeah, that's crazy. I will post that. Thank you so much. I don't know if it's going to let me play anything. Yeah, it's not going to. I have to download it, but thank you, Bam Bam. Guys, check that out. I'm gonna watch it because I'm interested in seeing. Because yeah, it's been around forever. All right, our first song for summertime is what better way? School's out, and it's out for so many kids now. So School's Out, Alice Cooper. The title and song were inspired by a warning often said in Browie Boys movies in which one of the characters declares to another, school is out, meaning to wise up. The Browie Boys were characters featured in 48 movies that ran from 1946 to 1958. They were young, tough guys in New York City who were always finding trouble. The movie ran on American TV throughout the 60s and 70s, eating up a lot of airtime on independent stations. It was one of these TV viewings that Cooper saw. In the film, the character Satch did something dumb, which promoted one of the other guys to say, "Hey, Satch, school's out." Never heard of that before. Cooper liked the way the phrase sounded and used it as the basis of the song. The song was released in the summer of 1972 and when school was really out. And that's why it became the anthem for summer vacation. So here is Alice Cooper to start us off. School's out. Gotta love you, Bart. Welcome, Gang Clan. Welcome. Thank you for the light, Bart. We got no choice. All the girls and boys. We all do. Thank you, Hanny. That is Mr. Alice Cooper with School's Out off the album School's Out, 1972. All right, we're going to move on to Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Real quick, before I forget, Wednesday, like I told you before, I may or may not be here. I'm planning. I did music. I did like a punk rock show music. It just might be a music show, depending on what I can do with my hand and what and how I feel. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. But it might just be music, or it might not be anything until Friday. We'll see. I'll let you guys know. I'll get an update out there and let you guys know. So yes, thank you. I'm trying. My tummy is killing me this morning, and it's all nerves. All right. So back to Summertime. DJ Jazzy Jeff. Released on the summer of 1991, the lyrics are about the joy of summer as lived by Will Smith, The Fresh Prince, and DJ Jazzy Jeff around Philadelphia. This won a Grammy for the best rap performance by a duo or group. There was some drama surrounding the category that year because Public Enemy, who were also nominated, boycotted the show because the rap awards were not televised, saying it's disrespected inner city contributions to the music industry. It spent a week at number one on the U.S. Hot R&B hip hop songs chart, as well as reaching number one on the Billboard Hot 100. So here they are, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Summertime.
Drums, please.
Thank you, bye. Welcome, RVPERABR.
Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break from the monotony of all the hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run around and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. School is out and it's sort of a buzz, but back then didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less than checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly, we be out in the park. A place called
Bart, the you're crazy. Oh my God. It's a banger. I can see that. It has been raining tacos here in Colorado. Hey, KF, welcome.
Summertime.
Raining tacos. Oh my word. That is Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince off the album Home Base in 1991. All right. We're going to stop. No, stop. Why didn't you? All right. Raining tacos. All right. For my Denver, Colorado friend. I'm trying to see. Yum, 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 yum. It's a dream. Okay. Raining tacos. We're going to, if it'll come up. Oh, first is a commercial. Yes, Bart, you're funny. That's a Verbro commercial. I can't skip it yet.
Okay. It's raining tacos from out of the sky. Tacos, no need to ask why. Just open your mouth and close your eyes. It's raining tacos.
It's raining tacos.
The taco bot. Oh, tacos. Stop.
Cheese, 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 cheese.
It's raining tacos. Raining tacos. Raining tacos. It's raining tacos.
It's so catchy. That's raining tacos. It's raining tacos by Barry Gibb. Grip and Boom Bomb. Whoever Boom Bomb is. All right, I'm going to play this next one and then I'm going to see what BP's at me. All right. Hey, Matthew. Welcome. Hi, G. C-H-C-S-T-I-G. Welcome. All right. The next one is California Girls by the Beach Boys. Brian Wilson discussed the song in his 2016 memoir, I Am Brian Wilson. The idea of California Girls is there's this guy who thinks about girls all the time, so much that he started to imagining all kinds, but there's one kind he really wants, and that's right here at home. The music starts off like those old cowboy movies when the hero's riding slowly into the down bum dee dum de bum dee dum de bum dee dum. No, he says it was a playing at the piano, but piano after an acid trip. He said, I played it until I almost couldn't hear what I was playing, and then I saw the melody hovering over the piano parts. Man, musicians are freaking weird. And he was the one that was always stoned out of his mind, I think, on something. This reached number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100, and it was also a top 10 hit in several other countries, becoming one of the band's most successful songs globally. Here is California Girls. Bom-dee-bom-dee-bom-dee-bom-dee. Okay.
Well, East Coast girls are hip. I really dig those styles they wear. And the Southern girls with the
no problem, Bart. I love having you here. Yes, and also done by David Lee Roth. And I got yours coming up, BP. That is California Girls by the Beach Boys off the album Summer Days and Summer Nights, 1965. All right, so I'm going to skip that one. And I'm going to play this one for Mr. BP, LFO Summer Girls. Make sure this is up. Thank you, Yancy. Thank you, honey. New kids on the block had a bunch of hits. Chinese food makes me sick. And I think it's fly when girls stop by for the summer. For the summer. I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I take her if I have one wish. Well, she's been gone since that summer. Since that summer. Hip-hop mama, they speak in Spain. Met you one summer, ain't it all began. Who are these guys? I don't know. Hi, Dave. When you take a sip, you buzz like a hornet. Billy Shakespeare wrote a whole bunch of sonnets. Call me Willie Whistle, cause I can't speak, baby. Something in your eyes when it drove me crazy. Now I can't forget you and it makes me mad. Left one day and never came back. Stayed all summer, then went back home. Macaulay Culkin wasn't home alone. Fell deep in love, but now we ain't speaking. Michael J. Fox. Is that why they're one hit wonder? I said my name is Rich. You look like a girl from Abercrombie and Fitch. Kids on the block had a bunch of hits. Chinese food makes me sick. And I think it's right when girls stop by for the summer. For the summer. I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I take her if I have one wish. Well, she's
been gone since that summer. Since that summer. Cherry pins, cold crush, rocks, the boogie. Used to hate school, so I had to play hooky. Always been
oh my word.
To act wild and make a girl smile. Love new addition in a candy girl. Remind me of you because you rock my world.
All right, that's a little LFO with Summer Girls and their Abercrombie and Finch. He likes those Abercrombie and Finch girls. Yes. All right. We're going to play the next one, and then I'm going to see what Bam Bam's at me. Mungo Jerry in the Summertime. This bland tune was written by Ray Dorst, Dorsett, I should say, who was the group's lead singer and guitarist. He penned the song in 1968 when he was working for Timex in the UK. His band was just starting and the music was more of a hobby at that time. Dorsett says the famous melody just popped into his head one day, and the next day he wrote the lyrics very quickly. It got no chorus. It's got no chorus. All it's got is melody, and that's over and over again with the set of lyrics that conjure up the celebration of life, he says. Especially if you're a young person, it's a great day. You've managed to get a car, preferably with the top off, and you're cruising around, and you're a guy, you're picking up girls. All right. It became one of the best-selling songs of all time, eventually selling over 30 million copies. Here is Mungo Jerry with In the Summertime. Hey, Duchon! Hi, Slyly! How are you? I hope you're well. Duchon, I hope that you are well. I think of about you all the time when I'm working out. Because you work out too. We can talk about that. Moon Feather, how are you? I hope that you are well. Good to see you. Yes, Dave. I'm glad you're here too. And I guess this was in the Quentin Tarantino films, one of them, it says. Music from Quentin Tarantino's movies. That is a little bit of In the Summertime by Mungo Jerry from the album In the Summertime 1970, or in this case, songs from Quentin Tarantino's films. All right, we're going to move on. I have a request from Mr. Bam Bam for, oh goodness, Brand Vans 3000, Drinking in L.A.
Hi, my name is Stereo Mike.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Hanny.
Yeah, we got three tickets.
Oh, I've been doing it for some time, Moonfeather. Been the same time since I've been on the air. I don't even want to talk about that, but thank you.
It's a beautiful day.
Ring a ding a ding a. Thanks, Annie. Thank you, Hansie. Y'all are the best.
Number,
Ooh, thanks, Dave. No, you. Oh. Bart, you're right. That is Bran Van 3000 drinking in LA. Drinking, I've never heard of them either. So thank you for sharing that one. All right, we're going to get back to the list. We did that one. We'll go to Vacation by the Go-Go's. A Go-Go's bass player, Kathy Valentine, wrote this song in 1980 when she was a member of the Los Angeles band called the Tex Tones. And it was kind of funny because the music that I have, if everything, well, I'll play it one day or another, but hopefully it'll be Wednesday, is going to be punk rock. And they had like the Go-Go's in that category. And to me, I was just kind of laughing because I don't think they're very punk rock at all. Anyway, back to the Los Angeles band, the Tex Tones. On a flight back from LA, she wrote these lines on a napkin. Now that I'm away, I wish I could stay. Tomorrow's a day of mine. You won't be in. All right. Valentine finished the song and recorded it with the Tex Tones. Their version was released in the UK. The Tex Tones went to England to promote the single, but it went nowhere. Valentine left the show and got recruited to the Go-Go's, an all-girl band that was selling out shows to places like a Whiskey a Go-Go. When the Go-Go's when the Go-Go's recorded their second album, Valentine reworked the song with the group's guitarist Jane Weldon and Charlotte Caffey, adding a much needed chorus. The song became one of the Go-Go's highest charting singles, reaching number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100. So here they are, the Go-Go's with Vacation. Where did it go? There it is. Now, does this sound punk rock to you? I don't think so. Even the earlier stuff didn't sound punk rock. Thank you for the likes. Right? I mean, maybe this Tex Tone band was, but not the Go-Go's. Yeah, that's true. I think at that time they kind of didn't know what to do with some of the groups, so they just stuck it in. Especially if you were rebellious. If you were rebellious, for sure you got stuck into that punk category. Yeah. And then there's the whole new wave new way of, I don't know, category. Well, that is the Go-Go's with Vacation off the album Vacation 1982. All right. This next one, well, the next two are kind of slow. What time is it? All right, maybe I'll pass that one up. No, I'll play this one, Under the Boardwalk by the Drifters. The session to record the song was scheduled for May 20th, 1964, but the Drifters' lead single, Rudy Lewis, was found dead that morning. The cause of death is unclear at that time, but likely either drug overdose or a heart attack. The group was distraught over Lewis's death, and their performance added a tinge of melancholy to the song, which is about spending time under the seaside boardwalk with a love interest, out of sight of crowds above. Many artists have covered this, including the Rolling Stones, John Mellencamp, Jackson 5, Bruce Willis, that's right. Oh man, yes, I do have Bruce Willis on here too, because I was curious. I forgot if you guys remember that Moonlighting show, he used to sing all the time on there. And I guess his alter ego's name is Bruno. So we'll play a little bit of the Drifters and then we'll play a little bit of Bruno. So here's the Drifters, Under the Boardwalk.
When the sun is down and burns the tar up on the
Very true, Yancey, very true.
And your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah. On a blanket with my baby, that's where I'll be.
Under the boardwalk,
out of the sun,
under the boardwalk,
we'll be having some fun.
Oh, does Don Johnson sing it too? Are you kidding, Nancy?
Under the boardwalk,
hear the happy sounds of a carousel. You can almost taste the notes and rich rhymes they sing. Under the boardwalk, under the sea, yeah. On a blanket with my baby, that's where I'll be.
Under the boardwalk,
out of the sun,
under the boardwalk,
we'll be having some fun.
That is the Drifters with Under the Boardwalk off the album The Very Best of the Drifters. All right, now let's listen to a little bit of Bruno. And it's off The Return of Bruno. He's returning.
Down here with us under the boardwalk. Hey, man, I got my lady down. Let's brew down. Oh, when the sun beats down and melts the tar up on the roof. And the streets get so hot, we shall tie our feet with fire.
Bruno.
Under the boardwalk, down by the sea. Yeah. On a blanket with my baby is where I'll be.
Under the boardwalk.
So is he punk because he's on kind of off key? He is not bad. I like the Drifters better. That's Bruno, Bruce Willis, Under the Boardwalk. Yeah. All right. Were you really? Yeah, he is 100% punk. That's what I was saying. He's a little off key. So is he considered punk? All right. The next one we have is going to be The Ventures with Wipeout. Growing up in California, going to the beach. This was the beach song. This is a popular instrumental track with the continuing surf theme. The only vocal is an occasional Wipeout. The Safaris were a band of teenagers with less than enough pocket money to record their work. The group was excuse me, the group was actually composed of the following young artists: Jim Fuller, Robert Berry, Ron Wilson, Jim Pash, and Pat Conley. Pash, however, did not take part in the initial recording. The breakthrough belongs to Wilson, who did such as an excellent job on the long drum solo that it became one of the most famous drum solo breaks played and recorded. Huh, The Ventures with Wipeout. Here they are. It's a perfect karaoke song for people that are really drunk. You're right. And they would probably even mess up the wipeouts. They just need to get up there and shake their shiny hiney. They'll be fine. Welcome. All right, well, we're going to move on from the Ventures with Wipeout. And it's off the album, of course, Wipeout 1963. We're going to move on. The next song I have is Sundays by Florida Georgia Line. Feel good track kicks off with some whistling before Tyler Hubbard and Brian Kelly started singing lyrics about wearing flip-flops and getting high over an island vibe. The FGL pair have a Christian background, having met through worship. I had no idea. Worship service in college, but such lyrics as this tune refer to getting stoned portrayed a lifestyle that the church would probably not approve of. Asked outright during an interview with Billboard magazines if they smoke, Hubbard didn't hesitate. Yeah, oh yes, he replied. We're professional partiers. The single released changed Get Stoned to a more radio-friendly Stay Home in the chorus. So that's what you hear on the radios. Here is Florida Georgia Line, Sundays. Yeah, that did mean something totally different. I'm sure they didn't like that part about getting laid either. Is that why they broke up? I won't play them very long, DP. We'll get them out of your ears right away. All right, that's enough. No more FLA, FLG from Sundays. We're going to cut them off. All right, we're going to move on to somebody else that's considered punk, the Ramones, Rockaway Beach. Rockaway Beach was inspired by the actual Rockaway Beach located in New York, where the lead singer, Joey Ramone, was raised. The song was written by bassist Dee Dee Ramone, who frequently visited the beach. Guitarist Johnny Ramone claimed that Dee Dee was the only real beachgoer in the group. Released in 1977, it was the Ramones' highest charting single in their career, peaking at number 66 on the Billboard Hot 100. Here they are, the Ramones, Rockaway Beach. No, BP, I had no idea. You don't like Florida Georgia Line. Yancey doesn't like, what the hell is his name? Oh, I can picture him in my head. Oh, damn, the guitarist. That guy. What was his name? No, I wasn't thinking Luke Bryan. I was thinking Lenny Kravitz. Wasn't it Lenny Kravitz you don't like? Somebody at WKOP doesn't like Lenny Kravitz. Thank you, Bart. Thank you, BP. All right, that's a little bit of the Ramones' Rockaway Beach off the album Rocket to Russia in 2020. All right, BP, maybe you'll like this one. Everybody's gonna remember this one, and everybody's gonna sing "Summer Nights" from Grease, John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. "Summer Nights" is the big song in the musical Grease. The song finds the pair singing about their summer romance, with each having a completely different perspective on what really happened. Danny sings his part to his greaser friends, the T-Birds, and implies that it was a sexual relationship, while Sandy sings to her friends, the Pink Ladies, about how much more innocent adventure where they held hands and drank lemonade. Unfortunately for Danny, he tries to keep up the act when he sees Sandy acting cool to impress his friends. It takes time. The whole movie wins her back. Here's John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John with "Summer Nights."
Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Met a boy cute as can be. Summer days are drifting away. Oh, summer nights. Grease one.
She showed up, slashing around. Summer sun, something's become over the summer nights.
Bella, bella, bella.
Tell me more, what's it love at first sight?
Tell me more,
did she put up a fight?
Under the dark,
we stay out until 10 o'clock.
John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John singing "Summer Nights" from Grease. Now I need to watch Grease.
So I told her we'd still be friends.
Our true love.
Wonder what she's doing now. Summer dreams ripped at the seams, but
those
summer
nights. That's the best part. Oh, get that stuck in your head. All right, we're gonna I'll end it with a good one. I hope you guys all like this one because I do. California Love, Tupac, produced by Dr. Dre. This track is built on the sample from Joe Crocker's 1972 song "Woman to Woman." The song is a celebration of California hip-hop style. Tupac and Dre rap about the vibrant activity and creativity they consistently encounter, but also warn about gang violence, crime, and social ills, which they mention with pride. Tupac was raised in New York, but moved to California with his family. The lifestyle he raps about in this song caught up with him as he was gunned down the following year. The affected chorus, "California Knows How to Party," was performed by Roger Troutman, who was known for creating synthesized vocals using a vocoder. Many West Coast rappers sampled Troutman and emulated his work, and Tupac used Troutman's "All Right" as the basis of his 1993 song, "Keep Your Head Up." Troutman died in 1999 when he was shot by his brother after a dispute. Damn. All right, here's Tupac featuring Roger Troutman, Dr. Dre with "California Love." Thank you, Bart. Thank you, VP. Bella.
But let me welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West, a state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track gets your eardrum like a slug to your chest, like a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state for the bomb ass envy, the state where you never find a dance floor empty. And pimp speed on a mission for them greens, lean mean money making machines serving greens. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Mrs. Honeys was wearing Sassoon. Now it's 95 and they clock me and watch me. Diamond shining, looking like a Rob Liberace. It's all good, from Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb and your city make it pay. Throw up a finger and feel the same way. Straight putting it down for California, yeah.
California, hi, D. Shake it, baby.
Give me that bomb beat from Drake. Let me serenade the streets of LA. From Oakland to Sac Town.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how shiny are your jeans? Are you talking to me, Bart? Florida, Georgia line, shiny. That's shiny. Welcome, Anne BITKGIQ. Welcome. Hot damn, that's right, young man. That is California Love, Tupac featuring Roger Troutman and Dr. Dre off the album All Eyes on Me from 1996. All right, you guys, that was the last one I have for you. It'll turn off. Something else is going to pop up. I just don't know where. Let's see. There. It's like it won't. Technology this morning. I don't know where it went. Okay. Thank you so much, you guys. I'm going to leave you guys like I always leave you. It's not playing. What happened? See? Okay. Let's try this again. Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. And if nobody's told you it lately, I love you guys and I appreciate you guys so, so very much. You make my mornings so much brighter and happier. And that's not a bunch of crap either. That's for reals. That's for reals, people. So have a great rest of your day. And hopefully I will see you guys on Wednesday. I will let you know. But, and again, it might just be music, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you guys. Oh, you guys, Yancey, I didn't even give anybody any shout-outs. Yancey, WKOP, Miss Hanny J, just follow her. Who else is in here who has a show? You might want to post it in there. I'm going to try to go through here. I think Bella, I thought some BP sent me something, but I wasn't home. So she followed, give her a follow. Anybody else I'm missing? I hope not. Love you guys, and I will talk to you later. Bye. Bye, Bart.